We'll be caught up in no time. Is this for me?
Yeah.
Amen. That'll work. Even if they have, it don't matter. We're all family, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me read you a couple verses real quick. Proverbs chapter 27, 23 and 24 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock and to look well thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation." Like he said, I'm not Dave Ramsey, I'm not Larry Burkett, I'm not any of those guys. I've read their stuff, I agree with their stuff. Is this ringing or is it me? Okay. I've read their stuff, I follow their stuff. The only qualification I got to be here is I spent 11 years with a mortgage company collecting on mortgage payments, approving mortgage loans, and selling foreclosures on the people that didn't pay them. Okay. All right. So that's the only qualification I got to be here. Brother Hill said he was more nervous than usual. I'm more nervous than he was. I don't feel qualified to be here. I don't feel worthy to be in front of all you men of God that travel the roads preaching faithfully. I thank you for everything that you're doing out there. Let me tell you a story real quick, and I'll move on. This will settle me down a little bit. Guys, got a brand new sports car. Driving down the road one day, and he's doing about 85, seeing how fast it'd go, and cop got behind him, turned on the blue lights. He thought, well, I'm going to outrun him. So he took off and got up to about 110, and the cop was still there. He just said, well, I better just pull on over. So he pulled over, and cop walked up and said, it's 15 to 5 on Friday afternoon. He said, my shift ends in 15 minutes. He said, if I write you a ticket, I've got to go all the way back into town, turn all that stuff in, do the paperwork before I can leave. He said, I've got plans this weekend. I don't really want to do that. He said, if you can give me one good reason that I've never heard before on why you were going so fast, he said, I'll let you go. Man was just shaking, trembling. He said, well, officer, he said, to be honest with you, he said, last week my wife ran off with a cop and I thought you was bringing her back. Amen. I feel better now. Let me tell you real quick, I've got three separate little booklets up here that you can pick up after the class. Just got a little bit of these budgeting plans and financial plans in it. I've got one for just married couples. I've got one for couples with two kids. I've got one with couples for four kids. Brother Chavez, Brother Paquette, I ain't got one for y'all. Gave up that budgeting a long time ago. But it's just got some sample budgets, some cash flow things in it. And the reason it's divided up is it's divided in percentages according to how many kids you've got. So if you want to pick one of those up afterwards, that's great. We'll talk a little bit about finances. And I'll give you this. Financial bondage does not come from a lack of money. It comes from a lack of contentment. Yeah. Apostle Paul said, and I'm paraphrasing, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. A lot of our financial bondage is caused because we're not content with what we have. We need to be content. So let me get on into it before Brother Tingen comes and puts his arm around me. I like him, but not that much. I want to talk first about credit. Credit cards and credit in general are not a bad thing. Everybody needs credit. You got to have credit to get credit. If you ain't got credit, you can't get credit. But being able to afford it used to mean you had the money to pay for it. Now being able to afford it means you can afford the monthly payments on it. You can charge it and afford the monthly payments on it. 7 out of every 10 eligible Americans use credit cards today, and they have an average of 7 credit cards a person. He's not the average one, right? 70% of credit card users carry a balance, an average of $3,900 on it. And statistics have shown that just having a credit card in your hand will lead you to spend 34% more than you would if you're just using cash. And I know that to be true. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself. I go into a store, whether I'm using my debit card or not, or a credit card, I'll go in and just need one or two things and think, I don't want to use my debit card just for, you know, $10 or $12, this, that, so might as well go ahead and spend a little bit more to make it worth it, right? I'm guilty of it. But there's dangers in using credit cards and credit. Bankruptcies has went up 35% since 1985, mostly because of credit cards, because we're not content with where we're at. The biggest danger in using credit cards is I don't think people fully understand how the interest on them works. They don't realize that you've got to pay interest on them sometimes. And this is a true story. This is not a joke that I made up or anything. A true story. When I was approving mortgage loans, I was looking at someone's credit, and they had good credit. I mean, really good credit, with the exception of one $9,000 credit card charge-off. And I thought, well, that's a little odd. You know, maybe it was reported wrong. Maybe they reported it to somebody with a similar Social Security number. So I called the people to talk to them about it and ask them about it. I talked to the man. He said, I don't have any idea what that is. He said, that's the credit card that my wife uses. And ladies, I'm not picking on y'all. This is the honest truth, I promise you. He said, that's the credit card my wife uses. He said, I'll ask her about it. I said, okay. He called me back. He said, Mr. Patterson, he said, I hate to even admit this or tell you this, but this is what happened. He said, my wife's been using that credit card for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. He said, she'll buy stuff, keep the receipt, she'll make the payments on that. When she's paid what that receipt is, she throws the receipt away. That $9,000 was all interest that she had not paid. She went and spent $200 at a store. She'd pay $50 a month till that $200 was paid off. And, I mean, in the meantime, doing that at several stores, never paid that interest. They charged off $9,000 worth of interest because she didn't understand that she had to pay interest. She thought, as long as I pay what I bought, then that's okay. And that's not the case. They will get you on interest. These credit cards, some things that you need to be aware of with the credit cards. I was guilty a long time ago of throwing away those agreements. When they send you the credit card, all I wanted was the credit card. I didn't care what the terms were, what the little agreement was. But if you read that fine print, especially on these ones with zero interest for a year and or 0.9 interest on balance transfers and all this stuff, if you read the fine print, if you're one day late, you lose that. It goes up to 25, 28, 27%, whatever. But we don't always read that. You need to take the time to read that before you get in trouble. Minimum payments, of course, they just want you to pay the minimum payment because they're going to get interest off of you. And we'll talk about minimum payments again in a minute. Finance charges, we've talked about that. Pre-approved offers. Yeah, everybody gets those letters in the mail. You've been pre-approved. Well, you've not really been pre-approved. They just want you to apply. And then they may give you $500, they may give you $5,000, but they just want you to apply for credit. And I'll get to that in just a minute, too. It's not always a good thing, especially at those department stores that, you know, apply for our credit card, get 10% off. That's not a good thing. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Because every time you apply for one, your credit score comes down. Every time that there's an inquiry made, your credit score will come down. And I know that you may think, well, what do I need a credit score for? And don't get me wrong, I believe in living by faith. I believe that, brother. I enjoyed your testimony. But I do think that there is a very, very fine line between living by faith and living foolishly. There's a fine line there. I think you ought to live by faith. So your credit score is important. It's going to determine the rate on your house. When you buy a house, it's going to determine your interest rate. And 30 or 40 point difference in your credit can mean $300 a month difference in your house payment. Insurance companies are using your credit score now to determine your insurance rate on your automobile, on your house, on whatever. Some employers, not that any of you have to worry about that, but I'll just share this with you. Some employers will pull your credit before they hire you. I know our company does. When maybe 3 years ago, and I worked for Clayton Homes, Vanderbilt Mortgage, by the way, sell mobile homes. Some of you have probably heard of Clayton Homes, Love Homes, Oakwood Homes, Country Squire, Freedom. That's all ours. When we would hire a manager to run one of those stores, we would pull their credit and look at it. Because if he couldn't manage his credit, he couldn't manage our money. So if you ever, I know when you get on the field, you're not, maybe your wife has to take a part-time job at some point, your credit score can be important there too. You may get denied a job because your credit's bad. But when you apply for these loans, Christmas time, you go in and y'all are all going to buy me a Christmas present, and you go into the department store and they say, get 10% off today by applying for it. Don't do it. That 10% ain't worth the difference in your credit score. The whatever discount they're going to give you is not worth it. Because every time you do, it hits your credit. And that's not a good thing. And you run into it, even in airports, people want you to frequent flyers this and that and apply for this and apply for that. It all goes to your credit. And they assume when you're filling out all these credit applications that you can't get no money, so you're a high risk to them. That's why it drops your score a little bit. But let me move on. There's ways to keep up with your credit score. freeways. I know you hear the FRE, freecreditreport.com. They're going to charge you at some point, or they're going to want this or that or some fee. The one good one that I've found is Quizzle.com, Quizzle.com. They'll give you one free report every 6 months, and they'll give you, there's all kinds of articles on there about financing and credit and that stuff. It's a pretty good website from what I've found so far. But we need to control our impulse to apply every time somebody offers us something. We need to be content. Let me move on. If you happen to have bad credit, let me give you a few ways here that you can improve it. And I came from that. I don't mind telling you. My credit wasn't great 10 years ago. I didn't understand it. I was just charging everything I wanted and didn't worry about it. But over the course of time, I've been able to improve it. And I've got it to where I want it now. But ways to do it, this one's pretty obvious. Pay your bills on time every month. I mean, just pay them on time every month and your credit score will improve. Doesn't matter what you've done 2 years ago, if you pay them on time now. I know from a mortgage company standpoint and looking at people's credit for 5 years approving home loans, I looked at the last 6 to 12 months or the last 12 to 24 months. Anything prior to that, I didn't worry about it because I figure everybody makes mistakes. But if they're truly trying now, if they got a good pay history over the last 12 months, then we'll take a chance on them. So pay your bills on time. If you have past due bills now, get them caught up and stay current with them. Pay your credit cards down, and we'll get to that a little more in depth, but pay the balances down however you can. There's two schools of thought. Pay the highest interest ones first or pay the lowest balance ones first. Whatever works for you. What worked for me personally was paying them smaller balances first because I needed that victory. I got that one paid off. Let's move on to the next one. That's what worked for me. It may not work like that for you. You may be into numbers and finances and know the interest rates, and you may want to get those highest interest rates paid off first, which is fine too. But for me, I needed the victory of knowing I had something paid in full. If you have to use credit cards, and I understand that, especially on deputation, you may have to from time to time. Spread yourself thin. Brother Stowers there, I don't know how many he said he had, 10, 12, 15, something like that. I don't know. But I'm just joking. Shoot for keeping it less than 30% of what your credit limit is. Try to keep it under 30%. If you have to use one for this and one for that, try to keep it under 30%. That'll help your credit score. So when your balances are maxed out, all the credit rating people and the banks and the lending people assume that you're at risk for bankruptcy. Because you've got 7 credit cards and they're all maxed out and you can't afford the payments on them, so you're going to file bankruptcy. But if you keep it low, it doesn't hurt you as bad. Which comes to my next point. Don't close out the accounts that you no longer use. Open credit's not a bad thing as long as you're not using it. I mean, if a bank or a mortgage lender, whoever, sees that you've got a credit card with a balance of $5,000 and there's only $400 owed on it, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Even a zero balance, it's not a bad thing. It shows them that you've got the ability, if something happened, to get money. So don't close out the ones you no longer use, but also don't open new accounts that you don't need. Then they're going to think that you're just opening up a bunch of credit cards in a limited amount of time so that you can charge a bunch of stuff and file bankruptcy and not ever pay them back. Check your credit report regularly. They make mistakes. People with similar names, similar Social Security numbers, it gets reported all the time. Wrong stuff gets on wrong people's credit report. So check it as often and as regular as you can and make sure that it's accurate. If it's not, dispute it. Call them and dispute it. Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, they've all got websites. They've all got 800 numbers you can call and dispute it. All you got to do is provide proof, which if it's not yours, that'll be easy to do. But stay on top of your credit. It's very important. Give you a few things on financial perspective. Realize money can't make you happy. It can't. I thought it could, but it don't. Live for what matters, not money. And don't get me wrong, money's not a bad thing. The Bible doesn't say money's the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not a bad thing. Just use it wisely. Let me give you some warning signs that you need financial counseling or you might need financial counseling. If you don't know how much debt you have and you're afraid to add it up, you probably need to see somebody about some financial counseling. If you're only paying the minimum or less on your credit cards, you're probably in trouble. If you're juggling your bills to keep minimum payments on other credit cards, you're in trouble. If you're increasing the number of your credit cards, you're in trouble. If you're going taking one credit card and getting a cash advance to pay another bill, you're in trouble. If you don't know which creditor to pay first, the car, the house, this, that, you're in trouble. If you're getting letters and phone calls from creditors and collections, you're in trouble. That's a given. That's obvious. Now let's talk about how to get out of financial trouble. That's what y'all came to hear, right? How to get out of it. First, to get out of debt, you got to have a desire to get out of debt. You truly got to have a desire. And that's going to require a change of lifestyle and reordering your priorities. That's, if you've got a desire, you're going to change your lifestyle, change your priorities. You got to make a decision. You're not going to borrow any more money, and you're going to start paying off the debt that you have. You got to have the determination to do it. It's one thing to have a desire, but to actually do it, it's a different thing. You got to have some determination. The best way, first, is to stop charging. Second, and I've got a monthly debt snowball thing in these books that some of you have probably seen on Dave Ramsey's website or Larry Burkett's website, but I've got one in there for you. List all your debts. Get an accurate total of them. List them all out. And then take an inventory of everything that you have and see if there's anything in there you could get along without and sell it. Use that money to pay off your debt. Of course, you know, pay your tithe first out of what you sell and then pay off your debt. But just because you're having a garage sale to pay off debt doesn't mean you don't tithe on the money that you get from that. It's income, you still tithe off of it, and then pay off your debt. Put all the extra money that you get into debt reduction. Paying off, like I said, for me, the smallest loans first. For you, it may be the highest interest ones. But you also got to have discipline. There's a lot of people that make budgets but don't stay with them. You got to discipline yourself to stay with it. And I've got a copy of your debt snowball in there, but let me give you just an example off of a credit card and how easily it can be to pay it down, and if you don't pay it right, what it'll cost you. Take a credit card with a $5,000 balance and a 16% interest rate, which honestly on a credit card is probably low right now, but a 16% interest rate with a minimum payment, and your minimum payment will change every month because all it is a percentage of the balance you owe. So if you pay something on it one month, it's going to drop just a little bit. But the minimum payment's $110 a month. If all you're paying is the minimum payment, the current minimum payment, it'll take you 25 years to pay it off. $12,000 total, which $7,000 is interest that you're paying off. If you just pay the minimum payment every month, it'll be $110 one month, it'll be $108 the next month, $104 the next month. If that's all you pay, it's going to take you 25 years to pay off that $5,000. You're going to pay $12,000 off. If you'll take an extra $25 on top of whatever the minimum payment is, once it gets down to 75, add 25 to it and pay $100. Just an extra $25 a month, it'll take you 9 years to pay it off, and it'll be $3,300 in interest. But now, if you will just continue to pay $110 a month, you could afford it that one month. No matter what the minimum payment says, if you send them $110 every month, you'll pay it off in 6 years with only $2,800 in interest. So don't just pay the minimum payment. That's what they want you to do. They're going to get all your money that way. Some other ways, develop a sales resistance. And I had a hard time with this. I seen something I wanted, I just bought it. You know, that you get up there and they offer you something else, so you get it. Hey, that'd go good with that. I mean, I'm the world's worst. I love suits and I love ties. This is my addiction probably. I can go in to get a new suit. Man, that shirt and tie would look good with it. It don't matter that I got 70 ties hanging in my closet. That shirt and tie look good with it. I need to get that. You got to develop that sales resistance. Ask yourself some questions. Do I really need it? Probably not. Am I borrowing more than I need to for it? Does it, not necessarily with suits, but with anything, does it do what it claims it's going to do? They can make you believe anything in the commercials and the advertisements and the salespeople. Ask yourself if it's really going to do what it needs to. Does my use justify it? If you're only going to use it one time, you probably don't need to buy it. You can find it somewhere to rent it or borrow it. If we run into that problem all the time, and it happened to us just not long ago. Now, granted, we needed a new printer, but my wife was printing some stuff for our church school, and last minute, the night before, you know, we procrastinated and waited and waited and waited. The night before, we thought we ran out of ink. Went and bought more ink, still wouldn't print. So we ended up going to buy a new printer that night. Now, we actually needed it because we do a lot of printing and stuff. But if you need something for a one-time use or two, if you're only going to use it twice a year, you probably don't need to buy it right then. Make sure that it's something that you can use time after time after time and continue to use it before you go in debt to buy it. And then let me give you this. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. If you check to make sure that it's not cheaper somewhere else. And all you tech-savvy people probably have an iPhone. Some of you that don't, and I don't. I never thought I wanted one. I thought, I just don't need that. All I need is a cell phone that'll call people. But after one of my youngest son's Little League baseball games, me and one of the coaches, we went to eat, and he was showing me his iPhone and the things he can do and all the applications that are on it. But the one that I can use for this that would really help you, and I'm not saying go in debt to get it. Make sure that you can afford it before you buy one. Don't go in debt to get it. But there's an application on there that all you got to do is scan a barcode, and it'll pull up everything in your area. Who has that? If you scan a bag of dog food at Target, it'll give you the price at Walmart and at Kroger and wherever else. Or if you scan, you know, a new camera, the barcode on a camera, it'll show you what's closer, and it'll also show you where you can get it online. Make sure you're getting the best deal on it. But again, don't go in debt to go run out and buy an iPhone right now just so you can save money on other things. But if you have one or ever get one, make sure you get that application. But now let me give you this, and I struggle with this a lot. When it comes to purchasing things, all of you think for just a second, what's the last purchase that you made that you actually prayed about? The last purchase you made that you prayed about. It got quiet on me. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm teaching and preaching to myself just as much as I am anybody else. But, I mean, why don't we pray more about stuff before we spend money? We would probably save a whole lot of money if we did. I mean, Jesus prayed before he selected the disciples. We'll run out and buy a new car without praying about it. I mean, why? Why do we do that? Because we're not content. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to how to keep your finances in check now. I got about 10, 15 minutes, right? All right. This won't take 10 minutes. I'll talk fast on this one. It won't take long at all. But how to keep your finances in check. A budget is a good thing. Let me give you 5 steps. 1, set up a cash flow plan. And this comes from Dave Ramsey or Larry Burkett. You can find this on their websites. DaveRamsey.com and I think CrownFinancial.com. Set up a cash flow plan using a zero-line budget. And don't budget on projected income. I can talk to y'all about this. You're at 60% support. We're in, you know, towards the end of May. You're setting up your June budget, your July budget. And you just had 6 churches tell you they're going to take you on. Don't budget on that. Budget on what you got coming in. Not what. And I'm not saying the church is going to lie to you. Nothing. Don't misunderstand me. Don't take me wrong. But you don't have it yet. Don't budget on it yet. Do not put it in your budget until it starts coming in monthly. All right? Get an emergency fund of at least $1,000 in a regular savings account somewhere. Pay off all your consumer debt. We've talked about that. On top of the emergency fund, get a rainy day fund. And most of them suggest 3 to 6 times your monthly income in another savings account somewhere. I know that's difficult. I understand that, but it's a good way to keep your finances on track. When something happens, you'll have it there. You're out on the field, and mom and daddy, whoever ain't around, and something happens, you need money put back somewhere. I mean, you don't need to be calling your mission board every month wanting to get in advance to take care of something. Make sure you've got the money put back. He's been quiet for 15 minutes. He finally spoke up. Calling your mission board for an advance is just like using a credit card, basically. I mean, eventually it's going to run out. You get so many advances, you ain't going to have any money there the next month. I mean, so make sure that you have money put back to take care. And I know, I know God will supply all our needs. I've got no doubt about that. And I believe with all my heart, the verse in Philippians is in the context of giving to missions. I believe that with all my heart. Just like his brother testified, he started taking up missionaries personally. God started supplying his needs. Believe with all my heart. But like I said, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. If you go out there recklessly just expecting God to meet everything while you're out doing foolish and stupid stuff, you might be in for a rude awakening. Make sure you've got money put back to take care of things. And when you get there, start investing. Now, as far as a budget goes, it's good to have one. But there are a lot of mistakes that come from people that set out with good intentions. To make sure that your budget's going to work for you, try to avoid these. One of them's not keeping a budget at all. I mean, there's a lot of people guilty of that. They don't even have a budget. They don't have any idea what's going out, what's coming in. They don't write down anything. I personally know people, have known people in the past, that will stop at an ATM just to see how much money's in there, and they think that's what they've got. They don't realize that they just wrote 12 checks and used their debit card 5 times, and that money ain't showed up on there yet. So you got to have some kind of budget. You got to have something written down in your checkbook or somewhere showing what's coming in and what's going out. Thinking short term will hinder you on a budget. A monthly budget's a good start, but it'd be great to get to the point where you got it planned a year out. I mean, look at your utility bills over the course of a year, figure out which months are lower and which months are higher so they don't hit you by surprise when they all of a sudden go up. Those months that they're lower, either put that money back for the higher months or put that money towards paying off your debt. But be ready. Look at it over the full course of a year. Again, not on projected income, but on what you have. I know in the secular world, people that I talk to, you know, use their budgets and they figure their income tax in, they figure their, you know, quarterly bonuses or this or that in. That may go away. You may not have that. Do it on what you know is coming. Don't be unrealistic about it either. Some people are unrealistic in their budgets. And it goes with the next point, spending more than you earn, which everybody's been guilty of that. But if you take all this time, sit down and plan out a budget, come up with a way to pay off all your debt, and then you continue to spend more than you earn, you've wasted your time. You're not doing yourself any good. You've wasted your family's time. You've wasted your wife's time. You've wasted your kids' time. Don't spend more than you earn. And that seems obvious. But when our country's debt's over $2.5 trillion, maybe it ain't so obvious. I mean, maybe it's not as obvious as it should be. Saving too little will hurt you in a budget. I mean, we've all got to save. Most people, 10% of your earnings, save it. If you can do more, that's great. But you've got to have some kind of savings in place. Neglecting to plan for a rainy day in your budget will hurt you because those rainy days are going to come. Something's going to happen. If you don't have it budgeted in there and planned out, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to use a credit card, you're going to call Brother Tinge and ask for an advance. He's going to say no, your credit card is going to say yes. But plan for those rainy days. And for me, keeping an overly elaborate budget would kill me. I just need to know what's coming in, what's going out. But there are people that, again, that love numbers, that love spreadsheets and all that, and they keep, you know, way too detailed one. That would destroy me. I would. Brother Paquette's laughing. I'm betting you got one of those, don't you? allowing your checking account balance to get too low, I like to try to always, $100 would be my zero. A lot of people wait till they get to zero, but you never know. You might have forgot to write something down. Your wife might have spent something and didn't write it down. Who knows? And you think, you know, there's $12 left in there, so I've got $12, I can go out here and get me a sandwich for lunch or something. Well, maybe there's not. So I wouldn't keep zero as the bottom line. I would try to keep it somewhere around $100. Then you should have a cushion there and be okay. Relying completely on your bank statement or credit card statement, they make mistakes too. They make them. We all make mistakes. So don't just trust that. Make sure that you know where your money went and what you spend it on. Keep your receipts until the statement comes in if you have to make sure that you didn't get charged over or to make sure that what's right's right. Never adjusting your budget is a mistake. I mean, I told you to base it on what it is now, but when those 5 churches and their support starts coming in, change your budget. If a church drops you for some reason, change your budget. Take that church out, even if it's $25 a month, change your budget. You have to adjust it for ever change. And not accounting for interest. We've talked about interest. If you don't account for interest in your budget, you're going to be in trouble. Now, budgeting, there's a priority in it. I mean, you ought to want to know where your money's at. But there's a purpose to know what you spend your money on. I mean, sometimes I'm amazed when I sit down to do our, sit down to balance our checkbook every month. And my wife's in here, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. I'll be walking home, be in trouble. But the how much money I give to Weigel's and Sonic and McDonald's is unreal. I ought to have stock in Weigel's by now. I didn't realize where all money was going until I started doing this. And you look at, you can see where, you know, what your money's going for. I mean, I've got three kids and they're always hungry. Three boys, 11, 9, and 7, they're always hungry. It doesn't matter if we just ate, they're hungry when we get somewhere. That's where the Sonic and the McDonald's and all that come in. So I know what I'm spending my money on now. But knowing when you spend it is the key thing. I mean, if you spend more money in October than you do in February for whatever reason, you need to know that. You need to know when you're spending your money. I know all of y'all are going to spend more money at Christmas this year buying me something, but know when you're spending your money so you can plan for it. Know where you're spending it. I told you where mine goes. Mine goes to Weigel's. I got 5 minutes. Know where you spend it and know why you're spending it. That's more about an attitude of self-discipline than anything. Know why you're spending your money. Is it because you're not content with what you have, or is it because you really need something? Quickly, a budget will help you control your standard of living. It'll help you establish goals. It'll help you spend with control. It'll eliminate family arguments. It may cause a few in the beginning, but it'll eliminate more of them in the end than it'll cause in the beginning. It'll compel you to save. It'll compel you to give. When you see how much you're spending on other things and how little you're giving, it'll change your thinking. It'll compel you to give a little bit more. It'll eliminate worry, eliminate wasteful and unplanned spending. It'll force you to face reality, protect you against debt, and it'll keep your money from going places it shouldn't go. Like I said, the information sheets in there break down, give you a percentage. If you make X amount of dollars a year, what percentage ought to go for your household, for your clothing, for your food, for all that, and all that's in those books there. I'm hurrying, brother. I got one more thing, and I'll tell you, and I'll be done. Ways to save money. Ways to save money. The first and best way is stop trying to impress other people. Just because so-and-so's got it don't mean you need it. Or don't mean you need something better than what they've got. Stop trying to impress other people and you'll save a lot of money. Use cash. We've talked about the effects of credit cards and the interest and all that. Use cash. If you don't have the cash in your pocket to get it, don't buy it. Grocery shop with a list, with a weekly menu. Plan out your... And I know on deputation it's tough. You're on the road a lot. I understand that. But when you get to where you're at, set a weekly menu. You're going to have hamburgers this night, something this night, and know what you need for it. Go to the grocery store with that list. Then you don't find yourself getting everything else that you don't need. Coupons save you a ton of money. I didn't realize this until my wife told me. Using cold water in your laundry will save you some money. I didn't know that. Most men in here probably didn't know that. And this is one that I talk a lot about at home. Just because it's on sale don't mean you need it. I mean, now granted, there are some times that you do. She told me, you know, Kroger's got detergent on sale for $2.99. You got a coupon for $2 off, 99 cents. Okay, maybe so. But typically, just because it's on sale, you don't mean you need it. My mom's the world's worst for this. She'll come in and buy my kids this and that. Well, it was on sale. And she's got more debt than anybody I know. But she'll buy them this and that. Mom, they don't need it, but it was on sale. I don't care. They got a closet full of clothes. They don't need it, but it was on sale. It doesn't matter. If it's just because it's on sale, don't mean you need it. Adjust your thermostat 3 to 5 degrees one way or the other. Will save you a lot of money. And I've got friends that this... Brother Hill's Measures on Bitterness helped me, because sometimes other people make me bitter with the things they do. They'll come to me and ask me about finances and budgeting, this and that. And both of them have cell phones. Their kids got cell phones, and she don't work. She stays at home. There ain't no need for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 cell phones in the family. But people do it. And they've got, not only they got cell phones for everybody, but they've got Facebook on their cell phone, the internet on their cell phone. Just get the basic plan, $20, $30, $40 a month, just in case of an emergency if your wife's with you most of the time. And real quick, I'll give you this. Most of y'all may know this website, but the way to save money, and I know when you're going to meetings, a lot of times the churches pay for your hotels, this and that. But if not, ifbtools.com will give you, there's probably 150 or 200 prophets chambers listed on there. They give you a list of independent Baptist churches and missionaries and mission boards and places that have prophets chambers. All you do is put in the zip code or the city and the radius that you're going to be in, and they'll tell you if there's one there. Come on, brother. Thank you for your time and attention. IFB, Independent Fundamental Baptist, IFB Tools, T-O-O-L-S.